The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen us in our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. In seventh grade, I went over to play with a friend and get him from his house to go out for a nice day of having fun. It's probably mid-morning, and he was out doing some chores, which was a little unusual for that time of day. And when I came up to talk to him and said, come on, let's go, he said, well, I've got a hoe in the garden for a few more hours. And he said, I'm so mad at my dad right now. I said, well, what happened? Apparently he'd been in some trouble at home, and his father had really started to lay down the law and had given him a lot of extra chores to do and had been pretty harsh with him the night before about some of his disobedience. And I remember that conversation very well. I remember exactly where I was standing with him because he said something that surprised me. He said, my dad doesn't love me. And I knew his dad pretty well. I said, no, come on, you know your dad loves you. No, he doesn't. There's no way that he loves me, the way he's treating me right now. Many, many years later, as adults, I brought that situation up to my friend, and we recalled it, and he kind of laughed about it, and he said, yeah, I remember feeling that way a few times. But he was very well aware, and especially as an adult, clearly understood how his dad loved him throughout his whole life. And he even saw that harsh discipline that he was undergoing at that time, even saw that then as part of his dad's love. I'm sure there was a moment when you could have caught Joseph in the back of a cart chained in on his way to Egypt to be taken as a slave, when it might have been hard to convince him that God cared about him. It might have been hard to convince him that there even was a God, or that God was in control of anything. And yet later in his life, especially as because of his rising to prominence, to being the second in command in Egypt, and having his family come and helping to take care of them, later in his life, it would be very easy for him to see that even all of that was part of God's great love for him. On a human earthly level, When we look at things through the eyes of human reason and try to make sense of stuff that happens in our lives, and sometimes the difficulties we have to go through, and sometimes the ways that our plans and our dreams just don't quite work out the way we wanted, when we run into things that just completely alter stuff in our lives, on a human level, when we look at it with earthly eyes, if you will, it's hard to make sense of it. It would be easy for us to rationalize that God either doesn't care, doesn't exist, or he's really not that powerful. But the text before us, and throughout Scripture as well, God encourages us to look at the things that happen in our lives through heavenly eyes, from a divine and a spiritual perspective. Because on that level, God here reveals to us that he is always working for our good. Whatever he ordains is always going to be for the good of his believer. He is the ultimate benevolent God who is in control of all things. Every once in a while, just for the fun of it, I listen to faith healers on TV. Okay, I have a boring life, I'll grant you that. But every once in a while, listen to a faith healer on TV. And one of the things that there's many theological reasons to question their theology, but one of the things that really bothers me is when they leave people with the impression that if you just had a strong enough faith or did the right things toward God, prayer or whatever it is, that your life would go smoothly, that you would have success, that you would have some prosperity in your life, if you were just able to have enough faith. That is so contrary to the teachings of Scripture. Frequently we see the children of God in Scripture suffering. In fact, it's almost hard to find somebody in Scripture where there isn't something mentioned about difficulties that they had in their life. God often permits them to go through it. And sometimes because of their faith, sometimes because they believe in Christ and hold on to Him, they have to go through some rather difficult things. When you consider how frequently we see this in Scripture, that God allows people to go through trials, God does not necessarily let us select the path that we get to go through in life. He always has a better idea and a better plan. And even though His plan may differ from yours, He calls upon us to trust that just like a loving Father, He has oversight of us and every decision that He makes for us. St. Paul in our text is using what we sometimes call the argument from the greater to the lesser. He's saying that if God has taken care of your greatest issues in your life, your most difficult problems, shouldn't you be willing to grant and trust that He would be willing, able, and capable of taking care of the smaller things? He says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Many years ago, there was a pastor in the 1800s down in Missouri named Carl Walther. And he had a young family in his congregation that lost their first child. This little baby died. And pastors will tell you, well, anybody will tell you, that that's one of the hardest things for people to go through is the loss of a child. And he was working with them and trying to console them with God's word. And he finally got them to see and to understand that God, in His intimate, ultimate wisdom over all things, not only knew what was going to be best for their child, but also what would be best even for them. If the one who is in charge of all human history, and the one who controls all destinies, the one who determines how long your life should be, the one who has dedicated Himself to saving you eternally, the one who has sent His Son to suffer and die in your place and to feel your hell, the one who has now sent His Holy Spirit into your heart to create faith inside of you and to make you His child, the one who has given you so many wonderful promises in Scripture, if that God is on your side, why do you and I worry? Why do we worry about the things in our lives? Why are we so worried sometimes about our futures? If the one who's in control of everything is that committed to you and to your future and to your eternal bliss, can't you trust Him? Can't you and I trust Him to take care of the things in this life as well? In fact, you could say that the biggest problem that you could ever possibly face in your future is having to stand in front of a holy God because of your sins on Judgment Day. And yet, there's no one left, He says, to bring a charge against you, because Christ has gone and taken care of that too. Christ has died and He's risen again, Paul says. And even right now, that very Redeemer, God Himself, your brother, is standing in front of His Father's throne, pleading your case and explaining to Him that you are as holy and righteous because of His work as Christ Himself. Many years ago, my wife and I went to see a mansion, and we were out on the front lawn of this mansion. I guess it was kind of the back lawn, and it had a beautiful garden, huge hedge that went out, and it was about an 8-foot-tall hedge. And it was actually a maze. And as you went through this maze, you kind of felt lost at times and then finally made your way to the other side. At the end of all this, you could go up on a tall porch off the house and look back down on the maze. And you could see all these people and kids walking through it and having fun with it. And I thought, that's kind of a picture of how heaven will be for us. When we're finally in heaven, we're going to be able to look back on all of the pathways that God took us in life, things that felt like dead ends to us. Things that felt like, why are we going this way? Why is my life going this direction? And it will all make sense from the perspective we will have now in heaven. In fact, as Luther says, we will probably be thanking God in heaven for the things in this life that we prayed the hardest for him to take away. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen.